Good morning, everybody. Good to see you here today. Our talk is titled The Gentile Pentecost, Baptized in the Name of Jesus Christ. And we're looking at Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 48. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and seek the help of your Holy Spirit to understand your scriptures, what they meant then and what they mean for us today. And we pray that you would impress your word upon our hearts. Amen. Today we look at another of the Apostle Peter's sermons that are recorded in the book of Acts. And this is, in fact, the fourth sermon from Peter that Luke records in the Acts of the Apostles. In the book of Acts, we are seeing the weeks and months of the first Christian ministry after Jesus ascended to God's throne in heaven. This gives us a precious window into the Christian message right at the very beginning when the church began. What did the apostles and the first Christians proclaim as the core message about Jesus? It's good for us to compare their message then with our message now. Are we still preaching the same gospel and the same Jesus? Do have that question in mind. Look out for that as we go through. So please have Acts chapter 10 open in front of you. You can find it in the church Bibles on page 1103. And I've got four headings to give a shape to this sermon. So firstly, through Jesus, God accepts people of all nationalities. This chapter of Acts is about the Apostle Peter and the Jewish church grasping hold of the fact that God is now welcoming the Gentiles. That word Gentile occurs 34 times in the book of Acts, and it appears twice in today's Bible reading. It was a Jewish word for all the other nationalities in the world, all the people of the earth who are not Jewish, not biologically descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we can translate it as the nations. And this, of course, means that we here today are Gentiles. Perhaps there are one or two amongst us who have Jewish ancestry, but the majority of us are Gentile. And this gives us a direct link with this Bible passage, because Acts 10 is about the beginning of God accepting people of all nationalities, people like us. And it's because of this culture change that we see at this point in Acts that we're included and that there is a church here in Fordham of which we are part. Now, Jesus gave a roadmap and plan to the apostles just before his ascension. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You may remember this if you heard last week's sermon and the verse is on the screen. But you will receive power from the Holy Spirit, says Jesus. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, there on the map, and in all Judea, a wider area, and in Samaria, further still, and to the ends of the earth. Luke records the outworking of this promise through the 28 chapters of Acts. So this verse gives us a kind of introduction of what's going to happen through the whole book. But will this message of Jesus be just for Jewish people? As the apostles go out, will it just be for the diaspora of Jewish people spread throughout the world? Or will it be for the people of other races and nationalities as well? And the book of Acts shows us clearly that Jesus is for all nations. Today, nobody, well, at least nobody that I've ever met, questions that Christianity is a global religion that welcomes people of any ethnic group. We take it for granted. But back then, this wasn't obvious, as Acts 10 reveals. And this chapter of Acts is about God making it plain to the leader of the fledgling church, the Apostle Peter, that through Jesus, God is welcoming the Gentiles. Right back at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 12, God said to Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All the peoples, that's the Gentiles. In Acts 10, this promise from over 2,000 years earlier is beginning to be fulfilled in a special way. And God uses lots of clear signs and miraculous providences to make it very plain to Peter. God has to really spell it out. It's clear in Acts 10 that God is orchestrating the events so that Peter gets the message. And if you heard last week's sermon on Acts 8, you'll see some similarities with the way God directed Philip to share the gospel with the Ethiopian man. Well, it's similar in Acts 10. In Acts 10, there's a vision of an angel, the vision of something like a sheet being lowered from heaven full of animals. The Spirit speaks directly to Peter, and the chapter ends with the Holy Spirit being tangibly poured out on the non-Jewish people in a similar way to the outpouring of the Spirit on the apostles at Pentecost. And this is why I've titled this talk, A Gentile Pentecost. Cornelius and his friends and family are baptized in the name of Jesus. So through Jesus, God accepts people of all nationalities, the Gentiles. So before we dive into the story, a couple of applications for us for today as we begin. And you can think about these as we go through the talk. Because God welcomes people from all nations, we should look to welcome into our church people of any nationality. Christianity isn't just for white people, and it's not just for British people. And therefore, the challenging question for us to ask ourselves is, are there types of people who you secretly don't want to be part of our church? An important question, an uncomfortable question. And we need to consider whether we need a personal repentance on this. May God's word speak to our hearts. So let's look at Acts chapter 10. It begins with a God-fearing Roman centurion called Cornelius. And this is my second heading. God-fearing Cornelius, the Roman centurion. Now, Cornelius lived at Caesarea on the Mediterranean coast. And you can see it here on the map. This is the Mediterranean Sea here. Jerusalem down here. Here's Caesarea. And Caesarea, named after Caesar, was the capital of the Roman Empire for this region. And Cornelius was in charge of probably 100 soldiers, being a centurion, in charge of a regiment called the Italian Regiment. And you can still visit Caesarea today. Here are a couple of photos of it from the web. Here we can see the coastline. Here's the Roman amphitheater. Still looks like it's in pretty good condition. And here we can see some of the excavations that have been done. You can see all this in the Caesarea National Park. And I wonder if anyone here has been to Caesarea. Do you want to put your hand up if you've been there? Mary and Nick have been. Irene's been. Great. Do find out more later over coffee. Cornelius is described as a God-fearer. Like the Ethiopian finance director from Acts chapter 8, who we looked at last Sunday, he wasn't Jewish, but he and his family worshipped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were God-fearers. but they weren't fully included in the Jewish people of God. Luke tells us that Cornelius and his family were devout, and they were noted for their generosity, their prayer life, and they were respected by all the Jewish people in Caesarea. An angel appears to Cornelius and tells him to send men down the coast to the town of Joppa to find a man named Simon, who is called Peter. That's the Apostle Peter. So Cornelius follows the angel's instructions and dispatches men to Joppa. The next day, Peter is praying on the roof of the house where he's staying, Simon the Tanner's house. He falls into a trance while he's waiting for a meal to be prepared. And he sees something like a large sheet coming down to earth from heaven. It's coming down, it says, by the four corners. It appears that it's held at the four corners, sort of bowed like a sheet. And in it are all sorts of animals. A voice tells him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Now, Peter's reaction is, "Surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." In the sheet, amongst the animals, are animals that were forbidden for Jewish people to eat. Then, as now, Jewish people kept the Old Testament laws which prohibited the eating of certain foods. And animals were divided into clean animals and unclean. The clean could be eaten, the unclean could not be. You may recognize the Jewish word kosher, which people still use today to describe this practice. The voice is instructing Peter to kill and eat unclean animals. And as a Jewish man, this was a massive challenge for him. But the voice tells him, verse 15, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." While Peter's pondering the meaning of this strange vision, Cornelius' men arrive at the house, very nicely timed by God's providence. They call out asking for Simon, who's known as Peter, and the Holy Spirit says directly to Peter, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." God is organizing this. God's welcoming the Gentiles, and he's beginning with this God-fearing family, with Cornelius as the head. So the next day, Peter and some of the other Christians from Joppa set out for Caesarea with the three men. And when they arrive at Cornelius' house, there is a large gathering of people already waiting to hear Peter's message. Peter states the barrier between Jews and Gentiles, verse 28. This is the barrier that God is overcoming in this part of the book of Acts. "You're well aware," says Peter, "that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or to visit him." So Peter is crossing a cultural line even by going into Cornelius' house. In the vision, Peter saw unclean animals and was told to kill and eat. He now sees that this instruction applies not just to the eating of non-kosher food, but also to who you eat it with. And he sees that he is to associate with Gentiles and people of other nationalities. By the vision, he's shown that he should not call any man impure or unclean. So let's focus on Peter's sermon to Cornelius and the gathering in his house. It's in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. Most importantly, we see that Peter proclaims Jesus. And this is my third heading for today. Peter's message centers on Jesus, and so should ours when we look to share the gospel. Peter tells them about God's message to the people of Israel. That is the good news of peace through through Jesus Christ. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and Peter focuses on Jesus doing good throughout Judea and healing all who were under the power of the devil. So he focuses on the good that Jesus did, and particularly his healing ministry. Then in verse 39, he focuses on the Jewish people killing Jesus by hanging him on a tree. That's another way of saying hanging him on the cross. And then verse 40, he focuses on God raising him from the dead on the third day. Peter tells the gathering that he is a witness to Jesus' resurrection, having seen him after his death. Peter and other disciples even ate and drank with Jesus after he came back to life. At the conclusion of his message, Peter proclaims Jesus as both judge and savior. Please look with me at verse 42. Firstly, Jesus as judge. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. So Peter emphasizes in his message that God's appointed Jesus judge of all, those who are alive and those who have already died. Perhaps it's strange to you that Peter would include this as a key part of his message. Secondly, Peter presents Jesus as Savior, verse 43. All the prophets testify about him, that's Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Key to Peter's message is that forgiveness of sins is given to everyone who believes in Jesus. This takes us to the heart of the gospel message. Jesus is the ultimate judge of human sins, and he's also the savior from that judgment for all who believe in him. Peter proclaims Jesus as the judge appointed by God and as the savior. Do you see that Jesus does both roles? Here is an early sermon from the first days of the church. So some simple application for us as we consider how we proclaim Jesus to our friends and colleagues. Our message is about Jesus. Let's get that clear. That has to be the heart of it. When you share the gospel, speak of Jesus' goodness, particularly shown in his healings. Speak of his death on the cross and of God raising him back to life. Importantly, speak not just about Jesus' resurrection, but about how he appeared to his followers at various times and in various places. And particularly here we have the detail of him eating and drinking with them. That's important because it shows that Jesus wasn't just some kind of apparition, some kind of spirit, but it was a physical resurrection with a body that could eat and drink. Speak of Jesus as judge of humanity, and that's particularly important in our generation where the judgment of God is so rejected and ignored. And speak of him as savior. Those who believe in him will receive forgiveness for the wrong things that they've done and said and thought. So it's good for us to compare our message, our gospel, what we look to share with others, with what Peter shared here at the beginning. Does your proclamation of Jesus align with Peter's? Are there bits that you're leaving out? Maybe bits you're embarrassed about? We want to get the balance right with the message of the apostles at the beginning. And finally, well, what's the result of God orchestrating wonderfully Peter to come and speak to Cornelius and his family and friends? Well, the result is a Gentile Pentecost. While Peter is still speaking, and it seems he hasn't actually finished his message, while he's still speaking, the Holy Spirit comes on all those listening in Cornelius' house. The gift of the Holy Spirit is poured out on the Gentiles. And the sign of this is that they praise God in different languages, speaking in tongues. The Jewish believers who came up from Joppa with Peter, they're described here as the circumcised believers, they are astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit is being poured out on the Gentiles. And that shows us what a watershed moment is happening in this chapter. It shows us what a big change God was instigating. And because of this, Peter orders that these people be baptized in the name of Jesus. Who can keep them from the baptism of Jesus and inclusion into the church? Now, we live 2,000 years later, and we automatically think that Jesus is for people of all nationalities. But it wasn't obvious back then. And God carefully coordinated the events we've read about with visions, directions from the Spirit, and the pouring out of the Spirit on Cornelius and co. Up to this point, the church was Jewish. And it may be that when you've looked at Acts chapters 1 through to 9, you haven't really realized that that was the case, that this was a Jewish church. At Pentecost, which took place just a few weeks earlier and is recorded in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the apostles, who were all Jewish. Jewish people were gathered from many countries for the Pentecost festival, and wonderfully, 3,000 were baptized. It was an explosion of growth in the church. But we do need to be clear that it was an explosion in the Jewish church. At that point, the Gentiles weren't yet included. It was a Jewish Pentecost. But here in Acts chapter 10, we see a Gentile Pentecost. And all this was to impress upon Peter and the Jewish church that through Jesus, God was now including people of other nationalities into his kingdom. So today, our church must not be racially exclusive, and our support of mission partners must not be racially exclusive. Acts 10 calls us to work and pray to make Jesus known. That's in our mission statement, isn't it? But with the emphasis that we want to make Jesus known to people regardless of their nationality. Isn't it wonderful that the gospel of Jesus is racially, nationally inclusive in this way? Not all the religions of the world are like that. So let's turn to prayer now, and let's ask for God's help. Maybe we've got blind spots on this that we need to ask for his help to overcome. Maybe we need to repent. And let's pray for God to lead us in sharing his gospel with people of all ethnic groups. A moment of quiet for you to pray on your own, and then I'll lead us in a prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel of Jesus, a gospel for all nations. And we thank you for this wonderful event in the book of Acts and the beginning of the inclusion of the Gentiles, and how that ultimately leads to us being included and there being a church here in Fordham. We do thank you and praise you for Jesus. And we pray that you help each of us in our hearts and minds, that we might expand our vision to people of different nationalities. Please help us, Lord, if we have blind spots, Lord, or if we have prejudice against particular nationalities. Please, would you work in us? Father, it is hard to talk to people where there's broken English. It's actually more tiring to do. And it's hard work, Father, to learn other languages. But we do pray that you would help us and stir us, that we might be a church for all nations, both in our actual gathering on Sundays and in our mission partner work. So please be at work amongst us and shape us through these scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.